We're going to talk about the chait of the egel. As we're moving from Sefer Bereishis to Shmos, and of course we're moving from individual chataim to collective chataim. And the chait of egel, just to put it into context, is one of the great falls of humanity. Humanity fell when Adam Rishon was expelled from Gan Eden and he lost his perfection. And for 2,000 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hoped and waited that man could re-achieve perfection and locate him. We read Bereishis and Shmos in 2 weeks, but it's 2,000 years of human history. Let's keep that in mind. And finally, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that humanity at large was too lost in the darkness of savagery and violence and voodoo, so Hashem chose us. And He chose us to lead people back to Gan Eden, to reach a perfect state of humanity. And with our perfect state, to bring the entire world back to Yerushalayim and back to the knowledge of Hashem. Judaism is the most universal religion. We're not here just to celebrate who we are as people. We're here to try to improve the entire moral, spiritual, and of course material state of the entire world. And we had achieved that potential. We had returned to that potential. We were redeemed. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Yam Suf. We received the Torah. We said Naaseh V'Nishma. Chazal's phraseology for this is Batel Zuhama. That whatever imperfection, whatever toxicity was introduced into the human experience at Gan Eden had already been at Har Sinai neutralized. And now we were prepared to go to Eretz Yisrael, build a base on Mikdash, build Utopia, bring the entire world to Eretz Yisrael, and how much bloodshed and suffering and world history could have been avoided had we just taken the opportunity. You wouldn't have lived in LA, and you wouldn't have lived in Teaneck, and you wouldn't have lived in Detroit, I would never have lived in Brooklyn, we'd all be Israeli. And the entire world, all the bloodshed and suffering, because that was meant to be the end of history. We balked twice, one at the Egel, one at the Meraglim. So the Meraglim and the Egel are not just Chataim. They are Nefilas Adam. Nefilas Adam to Nefilas Yisrael. That's why there are a lot of parallels between what happens in Gan Eden and what happens at the Egel. Now, what the Egel also demonstrates, before we talk about the Tshuva, is how brittle human condition is. Because a few weeks earlier, the Egel happens on Shavuos B'Tammuz, more or less. So, 8 weeks earlier, 7 weeks earlier, we stood in Har Sinai, we said Naaseh V'Nishma, we heard the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the high watermarks of human history, religious history, and 7 weeks later, Eila L'Hachai Yisrael, we're worshipping golden calves and celebrating and orgies. And so what it shows is two things. Number one is how frail the human experience is, that you can go from the highs to the lows very quickly. There's a pasuk for this in Shir HaShirim, in the first parah, Ad Shamelech B'Mesibo. When the king was still in his palace celebrating with our wedding day, Nirdi, we stunk up, we committed a foul old odor. Nirdi, Nasan Recha, we gave a bad odor to our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So this is a pasuk which Chazal saw as a gloss for the Egel is up. But the point of the Egel is not just that despite Har Sinai we can fall into the Egel, but sometimes you have to be careful about this, because of Har Sinai we can fall into the Egel. Sometimes when the human religious emotional inner world gyrates too wildly and it's not healthy, and it's not normal, sometimes a pendulum can swing wildly to the other way. So I see people, sadly people who are Balei Tshuva or people that don't have that religious background sometimes, they swing very, very wildly. And the purpose is when you're growing, try to stop swinging wildly and try, especially you see a lot of guys, and it doesn't bother me so much, but just I'll give you a warning. A lot of guys in their first year, they have what I call the crash and burn cycle. They'll learn for 3 days till 4 in the morning, and then they'll disappear for 2 weeks. Because in many ways, it's easier to have this crash and burn. The extremes are always easier because they're clear and they're proud and they're bold. Day to day, getting up every morning at 6:45 or 6:30, davening, learning, going to sleep, and just clocking 8-9 weeks in a row, that's where real growth lies. But it's much harder. So in some ways, it's not despite the Egel itself, but because one of the most dangerous times for you, for everyone, but especially when you're young, is Matzah Yom Kippur. Because you've just reached a very, very intense spiritual pitch, and you'll see it this year, how different Yom Kippur and Yeshiva is. Then there's a natural inclination in your inner equilibrium to try to balance things out. And suddenly balancing things out doesn't always end up so great. So that's what's happening at the Egel. Now, what about the Tshuva of the Egel? So a couple of things are pretty interesting. Number one is the power of Tefillah. None of the Tshuva that took place in Sefer Bereishis were accompanied by Tefillah. The Tefillah of the Avos were not surrounding Tshuva. So even though there are different discussions about the purpose of Tefillah, the level of Tefillah, Deraisa, Derabanan, Lasman, the Palak, the Tshuva is one of the components of Tshuva. And during Tshuva, there's a special Chiyuv to Daven, so we add to our Tefillos, we're more makbid in our Tefillos, Utshuva, Utefillah, Utsedaka, ma'avirin esra ha'kizera. So it should be obvious from David HaMelech's Tehillim, but Moshe makes it even more obvious when he davens, even before he speaks to the people, when he's still in Shemayim. Remember, Moshe's two tefillos are still in Shemayim. Before he descends and breaks the luchos, he davens to Hashem. What is he davening to Hashem for? What should you daven for? So he doesn't even know what their sin is, but he says there are two factors keep in mind when you consider their tshuva. One is you have a bris with them. Just remember you made a bris with their avos. And because you made a bris with their avos, you're not going anywhere, they're not going anywhere. The purpose of a bris is a covenant, and a covenant is eternal, and it outlasts behavior, betrayal, commitment, discipline. That's what marriage is meant to be. Obviously, if you've created an incorrect bris, you have to break the marriage. But ultimately, marriage is not just about romance and companionship and camaraderie. It's about all those C's, but the fourth C is covenant. And you're making a covenant with someone to build something together, to build a family, to build a future, to be part of a community. And there are times you don't love your wife, and there are times your wife doesn't love you, because human beings have differences, and clashes and conflicts are inevitable. And one of the ways you overcome, there are many ways you overcome conflict, is just say, I'm here and I'm committed to a relationship. That's just so hard today, because covenant takes history and perspective. We're living ahistorical lives, so we'll talk about that. How do you live more historically? How do you live with a greater sense of historical sweep, rather than just being somewhere in the middle of America and going to a mall and buying a phone and following your team? How do you have that historical sweep that helps you in your marriage, it helps you in your relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Hashem says, and when Hashem says, Lechret kishiches amcha, he tells Moshe, they're your people. And Moshe comes next, Lama yechrebcha bi'amecha, they're your people, they're my people, they're your people. Hashem says, amcha, and Moshe turns back to Hashem and says, no, they're not amcha, they're amecha. In a way that Hashem wants him to be a little bit chutzpahdik, because he's defending Am Yisrael. Second thing that Moshe davens for, is he says, Lama yemur mitzrayim. Why should the Egyptians, if they see you killing them in the desert, they're going to think that you're incapable, they're going to think that maybe you're masochistic, that you have a bloodlust. Anytime people think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu negatively, it's a Chilul Hashem. And why should it be such a Chilul Hashem? And Moshe is praying on behalf of Am Yisrael, but the larger, we'll talk about maybe on Thursday night when I talk about Rav Amital, I'll talk about the larger Chilul Hashem that Rav Amital spoke about with Jewish history. But when you daven to Hashem, think about not the Chilul Hashem, but think about the Kiddush Hashem that you can create in this world. Think about how much potential you have to change this world. If you live your life correctly, I'm just looking at the 12, 13 guys standing in this room. You can be game changers. You can grow up, at the very least, raise families that are built on Torah, Yerushalayim, and Mitzvot. Much, much more, but it starts with families. So you have the ability to bring Hashem into this world in so many ways. And if that ability isn't maximized, it won't be a Chilul Hashem. It'll just be the lack of a Kiddush Hashem, which ultimately is a Chilul Hashem, because Hashem's presence will be less felt. Where will Hashem be in 2050? In some ways, that depends upon the type of lives you choose to lead. So you ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I have potential. I may not have lived up to that potential as much as I would like. I hope to live up to that potential starting this year and in coming years. So please, don't just do it for me. I say lemancha, imlo lemanenu. Hashem, I'm asking you for kapara, not just because I deserve it or not. I'm a 17, 18-year-old kid. How can I determine whether I deserve kapara? But I have tons of potential. And I hope that potential will one day serve you. And I'm trying to find my way out of whatever limitations I'm facing right now. And that's part of you. So I say lemancha in lo lemanenu. Please, Hashem, forgive me, not just for your sake, not just for my sake, but for your sake. The final issue you see with the tshuva of the eagle is fascinating. Am Yisrael is pretty quiet. Moshe is davening furiously multiple times. Moshe is breaking the luchos. Moshe is leading B'nai Levi. B'nai Levi a little bit active, although that's about the inner core of sinners, those who are the really hardcore sinners that have to be killed. But you don't really have the voice of Am Yisrael. The only voice you have in Am Yisrael is that they take off their crowns. Okay, in Parshas Kitisa, Vayisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael es et yam mehar chorev. They take off whatever crowns that were given at Har Sinai. They were given something supernatural, whether they were adornments, because I'll say there was some type of special protection that protected them from the Midbar, but they had something special that they wore after Har Sinai. It was called an edi. Edi is like a diamond. So they took it off willingly. And even though we don't hear their voice because it's a collective sin and Moshe davens for them, there's still mourning with the U, mourning over, taking off Ayis Ablu, and they're in mourning, and they accept it, and they realize the impact of chait. So it's not just admitting chait. I talked about this the other day. There's a sadness. Can you reach a state? I know this is hard. Can you be sad this month? Is there a part of Tisha B'Av that invades Yom Kippur? Not mourning over Beis HaMikdash, mourning over lost potential. right? It's all the difference in the world between a sterile tshuva, which is just make a checklist of New Year's resolutions, and a deeply soulful, mournful, solemn moment where you say, life is serious, life has implications, I want to be serious, I don't know if I've been maximizing my potential, I've lost some of myself, there's a kavura of self, and then of course a resurrection. Remember, tshuva is almost like death. Yonah dies, he's buried in the fish. And then ultimately, miraculously, as I like to say, because the fish starts out being a male fish, it ends up being a female fish. So what happens? The tomb becomes a womb. First he's buried, and he talks in terms of death, and then he's reborn from the mother's womb. And tshuva is a rebirth. To have a rebirth, you have to die a little bit. There has to be a part of you that feels that there's something off here, there's something wrong. Okay, so this is the tshuva ego. What makes the sin so different? What makes the tshuva so unique? The power of tefillah, and in particular, davening not just directly for kapara, but asking Hashem, this is a kiddush Hashem that I'm involved in, part of a larger narrative. And also, we have a bris, and I have a bris. I'm planning on spending a long time with you, Hashem, in this world. So you better get used to me. And you can't just leave me every time I fail you. Because not only that, you know what? The good news is, you don't leave me when I fail you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't leave you when you fail us. What does it mean for Hashem to fail us? It's a very heretical statement. Hashem never fails us, but sometimes in our eyes it seems and it feels as if He fails us. After 1945, just to the human eyes, it just felt like HaKadosh Baruch Hu failed us and had departed from our world, had allowed such murder. Okay, so it doesn't make a difference. That's when a bris is, right? When you're married, when your wife lets you down, that's when you're a part of a bris. And just because today isn't exactly the best day, you just keep on and keep trucking and keep rolling on and keep the bris intact. So Hashem, we're not going anywhere. We know you're not going anywhere. We're stuck with each other. Let's just get used to it. And if we sin, just try to please overlook what we've done here. Okay? Have a great week, everyone. Week number two. Week one feels like a century. Week two will feel like a century minus a month. And then finally, at some point, you'll say, where's all this time flying by? And then it'll be June 10th, and the year will be over. And you'll say, it felt like a minute. I promise you that will happen. Record me, put it, take it to the bank. You can bank on it. Time starts to fly. You'll see it soon. Okay, have a good week, everyone. Good morning. How was the tish?
It's great.
It was a lot of fun.
What do you have at his house or in Yeshiva?
Yeah, at his house. It's really nice. How's the wedding?
Good wedding, thank you. It was over 5 minutes before Shabbos.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I have regards from Yekutiel Kaczynski.
Oh, where did you see him?
It's my cousin.
I've heard you married Jacobson, right?
Yeah, exactly. He married my cousin Polly. So
he's work cousins. Sorry? He's work cousins.
Through marriage, yeah.
Because you don't Kaczynski. No, okay, so...
The Kubietzkis are my cousins.
Right, so let's follow the trace, okay? Jacobson is, what's his name, from Riverdale? Jackie.
Jack Bentheim is my grandfather.
Right. Well, Jack's your grandfather?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're part of that family.
My mom's a Bentheim, yeah.
So Jack's your grandfather.
Yes.
So what's your mom's name?
Shuli.
So Shuli and Tali are sisters.
Shuli and Yoni are your sisters.
Okay. Then are there boys?
Yes, there's Yonatan.
At that level.
Shuli, yeah, yeah, Shuli. So...
Any men?
Yoni, then Donnie. Donnie Bentheim, who was
okay,
a teammate.
Right, Donnie Lunger.
Then my mom, and then Yonatan Bentheim, who lives in Baca.
Okay.
And then Tamar Bentheim, now Zakheim, who lives in Maryland.
Okay.
And then.
I know Tamar. I was with Tamar in a Pesach program.
Okay. And then Eitan and Gilad, were both here, actually.
Right. Okay. So, okay. Now I'm getting the families. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jackie's older sister. I think older sister.
Yes, Judy.
Just Judy.
Yeah.
So Judy has Allison. Allison?
Yeah, so Allison. Avner and Tamar actually just named their kid after Judy.
I didn't know
for
that.
Okay,
so Tamar's my cousin. But now different.
Different ways. Yeah.
Okay, so now follow the trail. So Judy, one of her daughters,
Allison.
You know, have you heard of her?
Yeah, she stayed at my house before. She goes to LA.
So Allison has a whole bunch of kids.
Yeah.
One of her kids is named Gido.
Yeah.
Gido married my daughter.
Oh.
So Gido and my daughter live in Ephraim, right? My grandchildren.
I didn't realize that.
Right. So forget Yekutiel.
Yeah.
I'm connected to Yekutiel through a different way there. It's one of my
details.
But forget that.
And he said he was converted to the John also for a while.
Right. Forget all that.
Okay.
Okay. My son-in-law is Gido Kubietzki, who's my mechutel is Allison. We remember Judy very well.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, I stayed at Judy's house. I was actually Jacob?
Jacob.
You've probably heard of Jacob. Good morning, Yonatan. Good morning. Jacob is Allison's sister.
Okay.
Brother. He's a little bit. Living in Boston somewhere.
Okay, I think I've met him. Admittedly not as great following.
You'll be at Allison and Ari's, I'm sure. They live in your Shalaya, and then when your parents come, they'll come together with them.
Yeah. So Harris used to he used to live in LA. He was the principal of the school that went to for elementary school before I was there.
So Harris is.
And he comes to LA from time to time. And Allison's job at. I don't remember which museum, but there's a museum in LA called the Getty. The Israel Museum. So at the Getty Center, I think every year or so, there's like a convention. So she comes out from time to time. She stays with us.
So I look forward to meeting your parents.
So they'll be here. They'll be here Sukkot.
Okay, so I'm sure they'll stop by. At some point, there's a big Ben time and Sukkot get together.
Yeah, it's like a So we'll be.
We'll see if my children. There's also a big Sukkot Ben time reunion.
That's a Pesach.
A Pesach.
That's. Okay. I was there this past year.
Oh, so I should have met my great myself.
200 people. Yeah, it's crazy.
Tamar related to Ben? Tamar's like your.
Tamar.
Is what's his name?
Rohatner?
Tamar now Chesky. Who's Philip. Philip is the younger brother.
Exactly.
Philip is Jackie's younger. He's like your great uncle.
Philip is my great uncle. Yeah.
Right. So Av there is married my cousin. You know, they named after Judah.
They have the Simchat Torah over Shabbos.
What was the name? Did you get the name?
Yeah, I can tell you.
Right. Do you have the Simchat Torah?
No. We just have a family chat. So that's your Rotov. Avner Tamar and Yariv today. Sandra.